morning, good afternoon, guys. Welcome back to another Geek Tavern. As always, it's me, Sean. I'm joined by Mike.
Hello.
And Aaron.
Yo.
And today we're talking about Aaron's recommendation, Armageddon, Michael Bay film from the year...
1998. Yes. It is indeed a Michael Bay film from the late 90s. So the synopsis of the movie is... an asteroid is hurtling towards Earth the size of Texas, and they call it a global killer. It will wipe out all of mankind if it impacts the Earth. So NASA and its scientists are trying to come up with a plan, and the only logical one that they come up with is to hire oil driller, the best oil driller on the planet, and his team to go up to drill the hole in the asteroid, drop a nuke, and leave. That's the plot of the movie. We have a ragtag group of A-list cast. Well, now A-list cast. I mean, maybe in the late 90s they weren't, but like everybody. You know everybody in this movie.
There's a lot.
Yeah, there's a lot of people in this movie, but you know every single person who pops up on screen practically. I've always loved this movie. I still love this movie. Not as much as I used to, but I still love this movie. Because I really liked this movie in high school. I was on like a big like disaster movie kick, and this was one of the ones that I discovered, and it was my favorite for a long time, and probably still is my favorite between this and Deep Impact. But it's basically it's a sci-fi action space adventure movie, and it's a Michael Bay movie, so you know you're going to have fun one way or the other.
And basically a disaster movie.
Yeah.
Like, the first asteroid that comes down, or the piece of asteroid, I believe they said they were basically the size of basketballs. Like, I knew what to expect, but I didn't expect it at that moment. Like, it basically just smacks that dude in the face.
Oh, yeah. It goes, like, through his suit and everything. And
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the guy with the dog at the beginning.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and then the Godzilla.
The guy with the Godzilla collectibles outside, and he gets hit directly by one of the asteroids or meteorites, I guess it is, and he is still there. Like, when it shows him, like, pulling the dog out of the crater.
Yeah, his body was still there.
His, like, back had, like, snapped, but, like, he's there. I'm like, nah, he would have just been vaporized.
Yeah.
Like, there'd be nothing left. Yeah. Which is what I thought it was.
Yeah.
But, like, they, like, show you down in the hole, and he's, like, in there.
Yeah.
It's like, how's he alive? Well, he's not alive, but how's he still in one piece?
But the other dude with the dog is fine.
Yeah.
Even though it's hit the dog.
I think it must have hit... kind of behind him.
Yeah.
Because I don't think it actually directly hit him. Yeah, so anyway, disaster movie as well.
Yeah.
The tone of the movie is so bizarre. It's like the beginning of the movie, it's like a mixture of like, oh, this is imminent danger, but we also have scenes of that farm dude, and he's just like screaming at his wife.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
and like saying,
"Go get my goddamn phone book."
Yeah, and then we have that ridiculous scene where with the dog and the Godzilla dude, and then it's like almost comical scenes, and then by the end of the movie, it's like these like deadly serious like tones. I don't know, it's strange.
It is kind of all over the place.
I
noticed that pretty quickly, too.
And I want to say this is one of Michael Bay's, like, first feature films. Because he was, like, partnered with Jerry Bruckheimer for a while. And I think this was, like... I think it was one of his first feature films. And it shows because of the way that the tone is off the rails, practically.
I don't know if he's ever recovered from that. I mean, maybe recently. I haven't seen his most recent film, that came out. But
I mean,
even the Transformers movies are kind of like...
Yeah, but they...
But
you expect that because you're going into a Transformers movie.
And it's more balanced, where it's like there's levity. It's not like all jokes or like all serious shit. And it's Transformers, so, you know, it's kind of... It can't take itself seriously in the first place because it's giant transforming robots.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like this, it's like,
For the most part, though, in the Transformers movies, they do take themselves fairly seriously.
Yeah.
Especially, like, in the third one. Third one, tonally, is, like, straight across the board. Like, there's a couple jokes, but it's not, like... It's not as, like, comical as, like, the first one. Right. Like, where Bumblebee, like, pisses on John Turturro and it's stuff
his,
like that.
His third film.
Third film. Okay. So he was still trying to figure it out.
First film was Bad Boys. Second was The Rock.
Oh, yeah. I forgot he did Bad Boys. Mm-hmm. And then The Rock. That's right.
And Pearl Harbor's after this.
Yeah. Yeah, The Rock's a good
movie. That movie sucks.
Pearl Harbor?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard that. I've never watched... I watched a
bit I thought it was it. Highly... regarded.
I think it sucks.
Okay. I like The Rock.
I have nothing on. I've never seen that.
I like The Rock. That's supposedly the last James Bond movie. But anyway, we're getting off
topic. We're talking about other Michael Bay movies now instead of talking about the one that we need to be talking about.
Okay, so what did you guys think of Armageddon? Mike, I know you had never seen it before.
Yeah, it was my first time. I enjoyed it. The tone, the back and forth of, like, or all over the place of the tones was kind of off-putting at times, but I got kind of used to it, you know, knew to expect funny moments, but yet also serious moments, kind of, I can't remember the character's name, but the one that gets, like, space dementia.
Oh, Rockhound.
Like, I knew every time he opened his dementia. Is that what they said?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, that's laughable in itself.
Yeah.
He's got space dementia.
He says it like it's a known thing.
Yeah. Like it's a common thing, and he says it like he's just been diagnosed with cancer. He's like, he has space dementia. It's like, what the fuck?
And their solution to it was just duct tape him to a chair.
Grabbing him to a chair. Most of the action in the movie is great.
I was gonna say this is a good example of the mid to late 90s action movie with actual sets,
yeah,
and stuff like that. Like,
I did notice a lot of practical.
Yeah, like the inside of the shuttle and everything was all practical. The exterior on the asteroid itself was built on a soundstage, yeah. and
most of the special effects don't even look that bad for being.
There was only one
close to 30 years old at this point.
Well, I think there's two things I noticed. Something hit when they were, like, debris was flying. One of the, I don't know technical terms, one of the shuttle rocket things, when they detached, when it exploded.
Oh, yeah.
It didn't look good.
Yeah.
And then, I can't think of what the other one was. I remember noticing something. I was like, oh, that was pretty bad, but... But overall, it was
pretty good. Yeah. Overall, so like, it still looks pretty good.
So like when the ships are flying onto the asteroid, I could tell that most of that was practical. Was that kind of like the Star Wars thing where it was like
probably many
ships?
Probably. Yeah, yeah. There were actual models that were used for a lot of the shots. Probably they were used as like tracking shots, and then they went back and like CGI'd like the afterburn of it and everything.
One complaint that I do have, while I think the action is good and it escalates pretty well, some of the scenes, you just, like, have no idea what's happening, because, like, it's like a Jason Bourne film, like, the fucking camera is all over the place, so you're like, how am I supposed to know what is happening here? Especially when, like, what is it, Liberty, is that the name of the...
The Freedom and the Independence.
Yeah, so whenever the Independence is, like, basically exploding, whenever it's going... It's approaching the meteorite and, or the asteroid, and it's, like, being rained by the debris. That is, like, almost incomprehensible, like, to see what's happening.
Yeah.
Because it's, like, smashing the front of the Independence, and then it's just, like when Owen Wilson dies. Yeah. Like, you have no idea what's happening.
Like, when it's, like, hitting the windshield, and the guy's like, oh my god, this is it. And then it, like, they're, like, sitting there, like, calmly, and then the windshield smashes open, and then it's just shots of both of them going, screaming till they get sucked out.
Yeah, basically just like, and then it's like smash cuts and things like that.
Yeah, and then there's Owen Wilson like fly out. Well, and that's the thing. Like, you see Lev and AJ lock themselves in the cargo bay, but Bear and Oscar are still in there, and like you see one of their chairs just like go and just like rotate, but you don't know if it's Bear or Oscar. Like you can't tell who is getting injured because they find Bear under like rubble. So I'm like, was that Bear's chair? Was that Oscar? Like you can't tell.
Yeah, and then the scene where it was kind of be like, whenever the Freedom, like Owen Wilson, Oscar, like hits the front of the shuttle and goes flying off.
Yeah,
like that's supposed to be him, but you can't tell who it is because it's like 2 seconds. It's like,
well, I was actually gonna ask you guys which one that was because I didn't catch.
Yeah, it's supposed to be like Oscar, so that you know, oh, he died during that scene. Yeah. And he wasn't.
No, he finds Oscar's body.
Oh, does he?
Uh huh. After it wrecks, he goes over.
Oh, he's still strapped into the chair.
His mask is cracked open.
You're right. You're right.
No, that was I can't remember the two nameless jarheads that were in the that were piloting. They get sucked out. Yeah, because whatever. And Bruce, it's kind of funny that you were like, you're supposed to like know that that's from the Independence, because like Bruce Willis is like, is that the Independence? And then the guy just like smacks against their windshield and rolls off. Oh my
God. Yeah, that's another astronaut that wasn't affiliated with you guys.
Yeah,
that you just ran into.
Yeah, he was just...
Yeah, what's one of ours?
nameless astronaut. I forget, like... I guess they did name them, but I just didn't...
It doesn't matter.
No, it didn't matter because they never made it to the asteroid.
They literally died at the beginning of the second act, so...
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. The movie's long.
Yeah.
It's a little too long for my liking.
I was going to say, it...
It yeah.
There's a lot of shit that I feel like I could have done with that one.
Yeah. I... just sitting down and watching like the last 15 minutes of the movie with you guys, getting ready to record, I noticed that like something bad has to go wrong at every turn.
Yeah.
It's like whenever you finally think that the movie is going to end, like Bruce Willis gets AJ back onto the shuttle so that he can leave, so that he can detonate the bomb, like, and save everybody. You're like, okay, that's going to be the climax of the movie. Like, that scene was like an emotional hit. That's the climax. And then they can't fucking leave because the shuttle is, like, not firing. So that's a problem. And then as it's going, Harry's hit with the asteroid or something and goes flying.
Into the hole.
Yeah, and is unable to. It's like, why couldn't they have just left and he done it? And, you know, like, why do you have to, like, why does everything have to be a life or death situation?
Like, I like that to an extent, you're right, but I like it to an extent because it just, it builds more suspense because...
Yeah, but...
Because at that point, when he pushes AJ back and you're like, oh, there's the end. And then, like, when he gets knocked around, you're like, oh, wait, is it? Like, and then you're, like, sitting there and you're like, fucking push it, push the button, like...
Yeah.
I don't know, it builds a little bit more suspense.
Yeah, it's a little bit unnecessary.
Oh, it's unnecessary, yeah. but it does build up a little bit of suspense.
Yeah, like, at the end there, like, just push the button, I think that would have been fine. I think, because...
That's what audiences were collectively saying as they're, like, watching this scene play out. They're like, just push the fucking button.
Yeah. Correct me if I'm wrong, because I have a terrible memory. I was also texting. But did anybody actually get hurt or die during the refueling at the Russian station?
No.
No, yeah, no.
Okay.
Everybody made it up.
So that's going to bring up my next statement. That whole thing could have just went smoothly and half as long.
Yeah. No, yeah.
Yeah, the only reason that happened is so that they could get Lev on the ships with them.
Yeah,
but
which Lev did come in handy.
Yeah, I mean, I do enjoy that shuttle refueling scene. Like, that's one of my favorite scenes in the movie. But you're right; it could have been fine.
Just you know, looking at the movie as a whole.
Yeah.
Like, if I was going to cut something, like, there's nothing of importance other than picking Lev up.
Yeah.
That happens in that whole thing. So like, that could be shortened. He could be like, I'm just fucking coming with you.
I mean, it would make sense that he would come with them anyway, because if they don't succeed, I mean,
then
technically he'd be dead. He'd be dead either way. But
yeah.
If they don't succeed, then odds are the asteroid's just going to come in and slam right through the space station anyway. So he's like, I got to get the fuck out of here.
Right.
So that if we do live, like, I'm not killed anyway.
Yeah.
So, like, that's how you could have written that, rather than... like I said, I do like the scene, but if you were to chop anything, that could have
brought it much closer to like 2:15
instead of 2:30. Some of the training stuff on Earth, like I really like. I like the psych analysis stuff.
Yeah,
that or like the jokes with them in the hospital, like getting physicals. I don't need to see that shit. Or I know that the scene of them like drilling in the water is to show that like AJ's a hotshot and like he's like doesn't listen to the rules, doesn't think do things by the book, and that's like
which it also I thinking back on does nothing for the story. It just shows
at the end of the movie. Yeah, it's but like he, a, it pays but, off. Yeah,
does it pay off though? Yeah, because he's a hothead and he convinces Harry to trust him. Like he learned nothing. He's just like, I know it can do it.
And well, he's a hothead.
Oh yeah,
and it shows that Harry, you know, thought he was just being a hothead, but it turns out AJ
is right.
Knows what he's doing.
Yeah. Right, even though. Yeah, he even says, like, as they're pulling him out of the water, he's like, the computers are wrong. And
right.
Like, we both know the computers are wrong.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's kind of a point of tension between them at that
point. Yeah, that whole thing, I actually really liked that whole thing, the
yeah.
whole
yeah.
Harry and AJ thing.
It definitely builds on their relationship, which isn't necessary, but...
Also, you brought up a point when we watched it that AJ and the rest of the crew... AJ, by the way, is played by Ben Affleck, if we didn't go over who was playing who.
We didn't.
And, oh, and Rockhound is Steve Buscemi's Rockhound, Ben Affleck is AJ, Michael Clark Duncan is Bear, I don't know who Max is, there's a couple characters. Owen Wilson was Oscar, but you already found out he died.
Kind of a minor role.
Literally doesn't do anything in the movie.
Yeah, and the guy who played Chick is famous, and I know him from other stuff, but it's Will something, but I can't remember. Yeah, a lot of famous people,
and, including.
I'll let you take that.
Judith Hogue. She plays the
Chick's estranged wife.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He told me that, and I was like, "No shit." I was like, "That's incredible." So, what was I saying about AJ? They all get off the rig because they struck oil, so they all get paid, get off the rig, and AJ opens his own drilling company like within 24 hours of being off the rig.
That's one thing that, so they pick up Harry and his daughter, I don't remember her name, played by Liv Tyler, they pick them up off of the oil rig to take them to, the Pentagon, NASA. I guess, or NASA.
Yeah.
And
NASA.
That's like, so we know at this point that we have like, what, 19 days before the asteroid hits Earth. And so we can assume that that's like 12, 13 hours. And then it's like, Harry's like, if we're doing this, I want the best of the best. And these are the people that I want. And then it like shows a montage of them taking.
We get a Suicide Squad montage. Yeah, everybody's name, background, and a scene of what they're doing at the time.
And Harry goes and confronts AJ or like talks to him about it in person. And he allegedly had started his own oil drilling company in like 12 hours because the last time that they talk to each other, it's like you're fired. And if you want to do things your way, you open your own company. Yeah. He's like, oh, you opened your own company. It's like, bro, it's hasn't even been half a day. Like what the fuck?
Maybe he was doing it.
Like, I was gonna say,
maybe he already was like pre like doing it.
It gives the audience the wrong impression where it's like, oh, wow, he's doing a thing. It's like, literally, it's been 12 hours. Like, what the fuck?
There's some guy in the audience going, I'm going to do it. I'm going to quit my job. It seems easy. I'm going to just start it up.
I'm going to start an oil drilling.
Seems like tomorrow I can just start it.
Yeah, but I thought that was...
I totally missed that whole thing.
Yeah, that was something that Sean pointed out, and I was like, huh. Yes, he did, didn't he?
Yeah. So, because the way that they bring it up, it's like, oh, the second that he gets off a rig, Chick's at a casino already. And it's like, yeah, it would literally be like the next day.
That would make sense.
Yeah. So that makes sense. And like getting everybody else makes sense. But yeah.
That would just him like, having his own
Yeah, it's like AJ, like oil drilling or some shit like that.
Max is getting a tattoo, which is also unrealistic because I don't think you're going to find a tattoo artist that does walk in.
Maybe.
But you got like Max. And then, of course, there's when they show Oscar, I have to laugh at this every single time. It's just some dude on a horse with a couple plug shots of Owen Wilson, like, close up against the green screen.
Yeah.
Because, like, when you look at the guy riding the horse, it could be anybody. It could literally be anybody. It could be you.
Like, yeah. In 1998,
again. Yeah. Just been you.
And then, yeah, just, like, cuts to, because he's, like, being chased by helicopters, and then somebody's like...
Yeah. And then it cuts back, again, it's backlit, so it's just a silhouette. It could be anybody. Yeah,
that was totally plugged in.
Yeah.
But regardless,
and then Buscemi and the bar telling the girl that, and he's a geologist, by the way, a brilliant geologist, as we find out, and he's telling her that her wedding ring's fake.
Yeah, that's not real.
It's not diamond. Like another drink? Yeah.
Then the FBI show up.
And he turns and goes, how old are you?
Yeah. No, what a horrible.
that running joke. With
Rock Hound. Yeah, just Rock character. I mean,
I do love Rock Hound's character.
Don't get me wrong.
He's probably my favorite character in the movie.
But he's like a piece of shit. And the only. And he gets space cancer. And goes crazy on the asteroid. So the only reason that he's even on the like flight is to be like, oh, you fucking landed us at the wrong spot. Basically exposition. Our job just got really fucking hard because of that, and that's all
or
that
2.5 miles or what is
26 miles.
26 miles. Yeah.
Yeah, like graphite, like iron ferrite block in the asteroid. So it's like, yeah, you fucked us over, and that's like his only purpose in the movie is to just like tell the audience, hey, you thought it was gonna. I don't even know why they thought like. It's like, oh, yeah, you're drilling into an asteroid. That's going to be hard. And he's there to say, oh, you thought it was going to be hard. It's going to be much harder.
It's much like, harder.
You, like, no, nobody watching a movie is like, oh, this is way too hard. They should be cutting through that asteroid lickety-split. Nobody's going to think that.
Which, in all honesty, they kind of do. Because, yeah, like, still, an hour goes by, and Harry comes in. He's talking to Colonel Sharp, and he's like, how far are we? And he's like... And, well, he says, like, we're at 85 feet or something like that. And I'm like, well, they did just have to chew through, like, 70 feet of that shit. So, like, of course, now they're going to be able to chew through.
Yeah, it's probably softer inside, I would imagine.
Yeah, it's probably a harder shell just based on pressure. And especially when it, like, would slingshot around a star or something like that, that it probably compresses and everything. But, yeah, we could talk about the science about that. I don't want to discuss it. But yeah, like Rockhound was only there to be like, I'm smart and you're dumb. And
yeah,
this is hard rock.
Yeah, it's like, oh, an asteroid's gonna be hard to cut through. Thanks for the tip. You know,
yeah.
That's just one thing I realize now. It's like no layperson watching the movie is going to know how fucking hard it is to cut through an asteroid in the first place. Why does he have to be like, you thought it was hard? Now it's going to be really hard. It's like, okay.
Well, and that's the other thing is like the way that it's written, they almost like talk to the audience. Well, I guess in any movie, you kind of have to talk to the audience like they're dumb because they are. But like when he's like, you landed us on iron ferrite, which means you landed us on a goddamn iron plate. And it's like, that was for you idiots out there who don't know what iron ferrite is. You know, because we used iron in the name.
Right. to disrupt their communication with Houston.
Yeah.
Was that plot point. Yeah. Another one of the hiccups in the fucking plan.
I think that was all before you came, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I brought this up to Aaron. So... they can't do radio transmissions, but they can activate the bomb. Like,
they explained
it. Oh, yeah. They only had it for 5 minutes.
Yeah, they explained it because they can't do, like, radio transmission, like vocal transmission. But because it's, like, I don't know if this is the science that they lay out.
Okay.
because it is a weaker signal, they can bounce their signal off of a satellite to the warhead in order to detonate it remotely that way.
Oh, okay.
So I guess the waves are, it's just a simpler version. It's not as taxing. I don't understand, but okay. Yeah.
There was like something that like,
oh, they said they bounced it off so that they could get a communication window, but because the signal to activate the bomb are weaker, they had a larger window to activate the bomb. That's what it was.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It was like, if they lost communication, they would have 5 minutes after they lost communication with them to detonate the bomb.
Okay.
But after that 5 minute window, they may not be able to detonate at all.
Yeah. So. Which that leads to, I think, one of the better scenes in the movie, where Colonel Sharp is like, he just gets a gun out and he's like getting ready to blow up the bomb.
Why you got a gun in space? Yeah.
Why do you have a gun in space? And it's Harry and Colonel Sharp arguing. It's like, why are you listening to taking orders from people that are millions of miles away? I'm the expert here. Like, I know what I'm doing. Just fucking listen to me and we can actually blow this thing up.
Right.
Because, like you said, they were only like 80 feet, 90 feet drilled into it at that point. So it would have been completely marginal to try and explode a warhead.
Yeah.
It would. I mean, I'm sure the rock would have separated, but probably not enough to clear
the planet. You probably, like, and then it makes me think about it, too. Like, all right, so, like, they say, like, if you fire a nuke up at it, that it would just keep coming. Which Jason Isaacs, another big name that is in this movie. But it's like, okay, like, I understand that because, like, its velocity is far greater than any explosion. But if you have it on the asteroid right then and there, like, it's not coming at it from a different velocity. It's not trying to stop its trajectory. If it's on one side of it and you, like, wait until it's, like, its axis is turned, if you blow it up, couldn't that explosion kind of push it in a different direction then?
And
influence it.
So. Yeah. Like, I would imagine that an explosion of that force would just, like, rocket to, like,
move. It might slightly. Be negligible. Like, you know, like we said, none of us are scientists. So in theory, it could work. But at that point, there's no movie. So
yeah, exactly. They're like, well, could you imagine, like, halfway through the second act, they're like, I think it could work. And they're like, let's try it. And they just blow it up and it goes, it just like misses. And they're like, all right.
Yeah.
That's it.
Let's go home. Pretty great.
Yeah. Cut the movie down by an hour and a half.
Nobody had to die senseless death.
Yeah. Make it an hour comedy. It's fine.
Basically, like, in that regard, you could have just slingshot around the moon and drop it.
Yeah.
And, like, let it sit down there. And then, like, as you're going past, like, detonate it once you've dropped it.
I really like,
I mean, why not have like four of them?
Yeah,
well, that's what Deep Impact is. They like drill in like in different sections, only like 100 feet or something, and then blow it up, but it fails and they end up still getting hit with a comet, but a smaller piece of the comet. Yeah,
and Morgan Freeman dies.
No, he doesn't. He does not.
At least he doesn't turn into a flash drive.
Yeah, exactly. I really like AJ Lev's and Bear's like side story after like surviving the Independence crash and taking the Land Rover, which has a Gatling gun on it for some odd reason.
Both of them have
Gatling. Yeah. I mean, you never know what's gonna be on an asteroid coming from.
I mean.
That's what my headcanon said, at least.
I was going to say, like, what guy at NASA, when they're putting this together, was like, what about, like, asteroid trolls? And they're like, what? And he's like, I don't know. We don't know anything about it.
That'd be funny.
I mean, there could be aliens on it.
Yeah, and they're like, well, stick Gatling guns on it, I guess.
That would be a very different movie if, like, they landed and there were fucking aliens on that.
When they first landed on it, I was like, nah, this ain't that kind of movie.
Well, like, and they try to give the asteroid itself some personality, so like you hear like growling and stuff, which is neat. I mean, like, they do that with shit, like, especially like movies like Dante's Peak and shit like that. Like, the volcano has its own like personality about it, like, it's villainous. But like, yeah, like, you hear that growling, and it could have been that, like, you could have just stuck like
And I thought I heard that, but I didn't realize.
Michael Bay should do a George Lucas special edition of this and like hide Transformers. Like in like the sections of the asteroid. So like when you watch it, you're like, oh look, there's a prime. Like just shit like that.
Yeah. So like it's the Michael Bay universe where like
everything is like Flusho. Everything's connected.
Armageddon happens in the universe and the basketball sized or like or the comet that comes and destroys Shanghai, that's like a group of Transformers that
it's just Unicron.
Yeah.
Like, that's what happens. Like, he's in just, like, in the bay. He just rises up.
If the turtles would have been alien turtles, they could have been from the
asteroid. I forgot that he did those.
Yeah. Movies. Yeah. No, no, no. He could do a whole Bayverse. He could.
Sharp is in the second turtle movie.
Yeah.
I don't hate those movies.
I don't hate
them either.
Anyway.
Everybody hated the second one. I rather enjoyed it.
Okay.
They don't have Johnny Knoxville as Leonardo anymore.
Yeah.
In the second
movie. I forgot that he did Leonardo.
Yeah. In the first movie, anyway.
Yeah.
I forget what I was even saying, so.
Gatling guns. We were talking about space trolls. Oh, yeah,
space aliens. Space comet aliens.
We're like, rewriting this movie with plot points that we're like, that could have been interesting.
It would have been definitely a different movie. Yeah, but... Oh, yeah.
They got to fight off.
I don't know if it would have been held in the regard that it is.
Is this a highly regarded movie?
I mean, yeah. I mean, like, you ask anybody about Armageddon, they're like, oh, yeah, I love that movie. Like,
I'm sure you ask anybody, and they're just like, oh, my favorite
movie. I remember people being, like, super, like, I don't know what word to put in there, buzzed about this movie. Like there was
I remember buzz going about to Walmart, the old Walmart, and there was like a cardboard like stand thing at the front of the store that was like, now on VHS, buy Armageddon.
If nothing else, the marketing behind this movie, because I remember like the commercial all the time on TV.
Yeah.
And I really don't remember any other movie ones from back then, but
no, and
I remember this.
And it's so weird, because I didn't watch this movie until I was in high school, but like I remember being like, well, I was 4 years old, going into Walmart and like seeing that, and I remember asking my mom, I was like, what does Armageddon mean? Because like I had like read it, but I didn't know what it meant. But it's just weird that I like never watched it until I was older, and then it became one of my like favorite cult classics.
Maybe I also remember this because music is so important to me. Like, I remember the music video for I Don't Want to Miss a Thing.
Oh, yeah, where he's wearing, like, a crow.
Yeah.
Like, his whole, like, thing is, like, made out of, like, bird feathers.
And as much as I love Aerosmith, holy Aerosmith in this movie.
Oh, yeah. No, no, no. It was just, like, they got Liv Tyler. They did the whole thing. They got Liv Tyler, and she's like, my dad will do the music. Like,
all of it.
Well, wasn't...
Didn't he write a song for Lord of the Rings?
I was going to say, wasn't that song written for this movie?
Yeah. I Don't Want to Miss a Thing was written for Armageddon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think. I don't know.
Why didn't...
Don't think the stylings would fit quite the same.
I don't know.
But yeah, so... AJ, Lev, and Bear's like trek across the asteroid. Remarkable, honestly.
Remarkable because they didn't know where the fuck they were or where they were going.
Yeah.
So like it was literally by fate or chance that they ended up by them.
Yeah, exactly where they were. That's convenient.
Yeah,
I'll say. Convenient. But I do like their journey and like they just, like, start floating off into space, and they're like, oh, fuck! And they fix themselves, they land.
fuck!
We're gonna die!
And then Lev's there to save the day by...
I thought Lev was dead.
Oh and Lev should have been
bouncing
dead.
Off the...
Yeah.
And it's, like, rolling through, like, the rocks, like, Lev should be dead. Lev should be dead.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a great character, though.
I mean, but you also gotta think about, like, because I was thinking he, like, would be swung everywhere, but there's no gravity. So, like, I don't know how that shit works. So, I just kind of was like, all right, it's fine.
Yeah. I mean, the asteroid has a gravitational pull to some extent, but it's going to be, like, a fraction of what Earth is. So
this is definitely a movie where you just have to shut your brain off.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I definitely have.
But like, there's that the famous quote from Ben Affleck where he asks Michael Bay, like, why wouldn't you just train astronauts how to do this job? And he's like, shut the fuck up, Ben. Like, he literally said that to him. But like,
they address it in the movie.
They do, and
that might have been like an added on scene. Yeah. Where after like Ben Affleck's dead, that he's like, okay, I'll write a scene and we'll shoot it. Fucker. Like, it could have been something like that, but they do bring it up in the movie.
Yeah. Yeah. And honestly, it does make more sense because it's like, okay, you guys literally, you literally have to train them how to put their gear on and how to work it. Other than that, you don't have to teach them anything else about, but like Harry says, like, no spacewalking, none of that shit. And they're like, nah, just drill. Like, and it's like, okay, like, they know what they're doing. You put them in that environment and they'll do it. So,
yeah,
it does make more sense than him, because like, they had 12 days, and it's like, okay, why would you spend 12 days trying to teach these guys how to do this? Because they're gonna get up there and go, and like, and they're gonna be like, we got a problem, and it's like, oh, well, do you know how to fix it? No. It's like, okay, well, we're all dead.
Yeah, so I can excuse it, even though it's really stupid.
What other profession could have saved the world?
Yeah.
Okay. Plumber.
Yeah. Let's send a bunch of plumbers up there.
Carpenter. Maybe. Just send Harrison Ford. He could have been Harry Stamford.
If you're sending Harrison Ford, just bring him the Millennium Falcon.
Yeah.
Or he'd just fly his own plane.
Yeah, like in Independence Day. Randy Quaid flies his own plane into the asteroid.
But he flew a fighter jet. He didn't fly his fucking crop.
Well, yeah, that's an alternate ending, you know.
Did he flew his crop duster in? Mm-hmm. No fucking way. That's insane.
Yeah.
I feel like I remember that.
I do recall reading that now.
They filmed it. Like, there's footage of it.
What?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I feel like I've seen that.
Oh my god, I gotta look this up.
Yeah.
That's insane.
I think I just saw it on Facebook or something one
time. Jesus Christ. That's incredible. Well, that's Roland Emmerich for you.
Yeah.
So basically they hit a shit ton of snags on their way to the climax of the movie where Harry... they all draw straws because the remote detonation, after they finally drill to 800 feet, the remote detonation is damaged because there was a rock storm. So one of them has to stay behind and remote detonate, so they draw straws, and AJ draws the short straw. So Harry takes him down, pulls his O2 hose, and pushes him back into the airlock, like the elevator that goes up, and tells him that he's always been like a son to him. He wants him to marry his daughter and tells him he loves him and sends him back up. Which is a very emotional scene.
Yeah, that was a good scene.
Yeah, it was a very good scene. And then, like, it was funny because when we were watching it, I was like, this is the end of the movie. And then I was like, oh, there's like 15 more fucking minutes of, like,
exactly.
Shit happening.
Wait, that should be, like, the emotional point of the movie. Everything else goes off without a hitch. We're left with Bruce Willis's sacrifice, and we don't have to deal with all this other bullshit.
Yeah, I think that's a better ending.
It should have been done right there, but then you wouldn't have had him talking to Grace.
Nah, I don't fucking care.
You could still do that.
Yeah. You didn't have to have the other rock storm happen. Yeah. There was no need for that. The shuttle... As much as...
You could have the trouble with, like, getting the shuttle started.
Yeah, because, I mean, that's where, like, Lev comes in as comedic.
Beats the hell out
of him. Yeah, where he's like, why are we not leaving? And then they're like, then she goes to, like, fix it, and he's like, Jesus Christ. And just, like, takes, like, his seatbelt off and goes...
Not again.
And then just smashes it with a wrench until it starts up.
Speaking of Bruce Willis... I think that this is, you and I have talked about this, this is like one of the last movies where you could actually tell that he gave a fuck about like acting. And obviously we have to bring up the unfortunate, you know, diagnosis that he has now. But in recent years, he's been doing a lot of bullshit that you can tell that he's just doing it for
which,
the money.
Which he must have had that diagnosis. At least that's what I read. Like, he kind of knew it was coming, or it was getting worse. Yeah, and I think that somebody reported that's why he did a bunch of kind of money grab.
Yeah. But even before that, movies that came out around the time of, like, Red and Red 2, like, you could tell that he just doesn't really give a shit.
Oh, okay.
But, like, I like it too, but it's just, I feel like he's not really giving it his all. And this one, it actually feels like he gives a shit about the movie, because this is 30 years ago, so maybe he actually did at this point. But, yeah, it's nice to see Bruce Willis actually trying again. You know,
it's not 30 yet.
Well, it's close. It's
20...
I can't do complex math. but yeah, that I just wanted to bring that up because it's nice to see Bruce Willis actually doing a good job in a movie. Yeah.
Now, I was paying attention at the end, but I feel like I either missed something or maybe they don't show it. When they dug, is the bomb down there?
Yeah.
So how do you hook up the remote detonator?
Probably like corded or something like that. They probably had like a cord that they hooked.
But how do you hook it 800 feet away?
No, I mean, it probably was like on like a cord that attached to another port on the bomb. Because they already had it in the hole.
Right.
When he went out. So I don't know if it was.
So,
you know what it was? He was carrying like a box with him that probably had a short range transmitter for up to like 800 feet or something that would probably trigger. I don't know.
Well, because, like, when they handed the...
Colonel Sharp.
Sharp.
Yeah.
When he handed it and was explaining it, he said, you have to plug this into something.
Into the port, and then, So I don't know if it was...
I took it as the port was on the bomb.
that makes sense.
Bruce Willis have to climb into the hole and...
Well, that's what I thought. He was going to have to, like, descend down this, like, narrow, like, fucking shaft.
The movie would have been, like, a half hour longer if he was going to have to go down there. It would have just been, like, Die Hard-esque shots of him, like, crawling down this hole.
That'd be funny,
actually. I don't know. I guess there's probably a cord already... 800 feet long? I don't fucking know.
It seems like a waste of a
I know. that part confused me. I don't know what the...
What if they just, like, opened up, like, the cap to expose the warhead, just pushed it, like, randomly got on the shuttle, take off, and, like, once it hits...
Excellent. And then he'd still be alive.
Like fucking Looney Tunes.
Yeah. It's like going like gong gong. It like has it like in reverse shots of it like knocking against the sides on its way down, and everyone's like,
it goes down, and all you hear is like they start running, and you just hear like, it's like descending.
And Harry blows up the bomb and. Literally, like, not a second too soon before the point of no return.
Literally.
And the...
Quite literally. The buzzer beater.
The two sides of the asteroid miss the Earth.
I just thought about it. Like, the way they could have drawn it out is they're, like... press the button and it goes past zero barrier and they're like, what happened? And Harry's like, it didn't go! And they're like, turn around! And they, like, turn the shuttle back.
We gotta push the asteroid back.
No, at this point, they're like, we gotta go back in time and then turn the remote detonator back on at precisely this moment. There'd have been some bullshit.
But bullshit indeed.
Yeah, and that's the end. That's the end. Day.
Yeah.
Save the world.
Well, then AJ and
Grace get
Liv
married.
Tyler get more married.
Yep. And Lev shows up in his Soviet colonel uniform, which I never noticed. I never paid any attention to, like, the wedding video that was happening in the background. And, like, I was like, there's Lev in his uniform. And then, like, Bear's, like, eating, like, the top of the cake or something like that.
What was his purpose?
Bear?
Yeah.
Did
he... Because we were talking about...
Yeah, like, the point.
He carried pipe.
Yeah, he carried, like... Like
yeah, when he was
like,
that
one, he had like, yeah, he's just a big guy. Who knows?
Yeah, like at the very beginning when you're introduced to Bear, he's just like this hulking guy standing with a wrench.
That I mean, that dude is like very big.
Yeah, he's a big dude. May he rest in peace.
Yeah.
He died like in, what, 2012, 2013?
Quite a while ago.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
He had a heart attack.
He's a big guy, so.
He was a very big guy.
Strenuous on the organs.
Yeah, it doesn't pay off to be a bodybuilder.
Nope, it does not. It pays for a little bit.
Yeah.
But when you get older, your entire body's like, yo, fuck you.
That's why the wrestlers have gotten smaller.
Yeah. Sticking to more.
And then there's also steroids. But
yeah. I mean, if you want to be a, if you want to be like Brock Lesnar, you take the steroids.
Yeah. I don't think Lesnar takes steroids.
Yeah, you're right. He probably is just like that.
He's a crazy guy.
He's just a monster.
Anyway.
Is that about all we have to say?
That is, I think that's about it.
Rating time.
Music's good, too.
It's
pretty good.
Like,
aside from
Aerosmith. As much as I love Aerosmith, I was like, really? Another fucking Aerosmith song?
Yeah, it was like, it's like with Dune when Toto did the music.
Oh.
Or like...
I mean, that was an interesting choice.
But like, or like Queen doing Flash Gordon. Like, this movie was like brought to you by Aerosmith.
Yeah, exactly.
And it was probably because like, Michael Bay got Liv Tyler, and then they were probably like in the middle of it, and he's like, hey, you think your dad would do the music for like a discount rate since you're in the movie? Like, and then they're like, yeah, just fill it. Fill it with, like, I have the album for Armageddon, and 90% of it.
Oh, yeah.
Is fucking.
I mean, I could tell from the movie.
There's one John Denver song that's not even by John Denver, it's the cover. Because over the credits, after I Don't Want to Miss a Thing plays, it's Leaving on a Jet Plane, but it's a cover. That's on there, and then...
Is it by somebody, like, specific?
Probably, but I don't know who it was.
Yeah, it's that scene where Ben Affleck just starts horribly singing it.
Armageddon album. Track listing.
And then there's, like, one track on it that's the theme from Armageddon.
Oh, there's... Remember Me by Journey.
Oh, yeah, right.
I forgot about this, but LaGrange by ZZ Top.
Oh, yeah, yeah, when he's when you're introduced to Harry.
Yeah. Roll Me Away by Bob Seger. I don't know that song. What song were you talking about?
Leaving on a Jet Plane.
Leaving on a Jet Plane. It was written by, like you said, John Denver and Chantel Creve.
That's probably
who's saying it. Kreebazak?
Yeah, that's probably who's saying it. I don't know who the hell that is.
I have never heard that name. Anyway.
But, yeah, and then there's one track, actually, from the movie where it's just, like, and that's a weird, like, thing from the 90s. It's like, you can't, like, because I tried for this movie and the Roland Emmerich Godzilla, each album has, like, one or two tracks of the actual movie score. The rest are all the songs. And that's the same with Godzilla, the album. So it was like all the songs that were even like briefly played in the movie and then like two tracks of the actual score. I don't know. It was a weird trend.
Mm.
Remember when movies had albums?
I think the last one that came out was probably the Guardians of the Galaxy mixtapes.
Guardians or Suicide Squad.
Yeah, I know Suicide Squad. Because Suicide Squad was really trying to cash in on what Guardians did.
Yeah. Just a random music note. Our Lady Peace was on there. The band.
Oh.
Like, it's all like classic rock, and then there's Our Lady Peace. Anyway.
Huh.
So.
Interesting. Yeah. a lot of interesting musical choices. And I guess the guy who did the score for this movie did National Treasure as well.
Yeah.
Mm.
That's a great score too.
National Treasure. This has a good score too. Yeah. Like the music when they were doing the liftoff
Shows. Yeah.
Great. Very memorable theme. But I think that's about all we have. Rating time.
Yeah.
Somebody go.
We need structure.
Than 7 out of 10.
Okay.
I'm going to second it. This is, I, if you had asked my high school self, my 14, 15 year old self who just discovered this movie and like loved the shit out of it, I'd have been like 9 out of 10. But I mean, watching it, like,
there's some flaws.
Oh, there's a lot of flaws. But all around, it is a highly entertaining movie. It's definitely like something.
Albeit being 2.5 hours
yeah.
long.
Oh yeah.
But, yeah, it's definitely long.
But it's definitely something that, like, we watched on Prime. If it shows up for free on a streaming service or something, I'm gonna watch it.
Mm.
If I'm bored on a Saturday or something, and I'm just like, ah, Armageddon's on here, I'm gonna watch it. Like, yeah.
It was on Tubi for free, but that has ads, so I rented it. But,
yeah.
I'm gonna echo the 7 out of 10. I can't give it anything less, but I really can't give it anything more because. You know, length and everything else. So
I forgot. And this is where we can plug a picture of it in. I got my picture taken with the bomb from Armageddon at Disney World. I met the bomb that was in
I met the bomb. Okay.
Sean and I met Judith Hogue.
You guys did. That's true. Well, looks like we've all met somebody from the movie.
There we go.
That's true. I wonder if I've seen anybody else in the movie. Don't think so.
I saw Bruce Willis at the grocery store one time.
What?
He said, who are you?
He said, me.
Oh, yikes.
Anyway. That does it for Armageddon. We have another recommendation coming to you from myself this week. I wasn't really thinking about this, but I guess it's between two movies for me right now. And
do them both?
No, I don't think so. They're not related anyway. I guess we'll do this one. This is one of my favorite movies. It's going to be another film by the Coen brothers. We've watched one of theirs already. Been a recommendation. My recommendation is going to be Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
I've never seen this.
Oh.
Never seen this movie. I've wanted to watch it
it's
for a while.
It's not very often that I've seen something that you guys haven't.
Yeah.
For
yeah.
well. Yeah.
No, I've never seen I've wanted to watch it. It's been on my watch list, so.
Yeah.
Good.
I really like this movie.
Yeah, know, it's excellent. It's on Netflix and HBO Max, I think.
It's
on one of the
It's two. On Amazon Prime. I don't
oh,
know
okay,
if it's
okay.
on anything else, but yeah. yeah. So, if you don't want to be spoiled for Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, before next week, or next episode, I guess I should say, make sure to watch it, because we'll be having a spoiler discussion about it. I hope you enjoyed our conversation about Armageddon. I know we sure enjoyed having it. Make sure to like, comment, subscribe, all that fun stuff, and we'll see you in the next one, guys.